Grace and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson for this Reformation Sunday, John chapter 8. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless our hearing of the word so we may confess our faith in your son as our Savior and follow him in the freedom he won for us on the cross. Amen. Please be seated. Once upon a time, a pastor went calling. When he got to the house, he opened the gate into the yard and entered. And as he walked up the steps, he saw to his right a dog lying in the dirt. The dog had a rather large chain around his neck, and it was attached to a post. The pastor looked at the dog and verbally said, though he didn't really mean to do that, but he verbally said, "Poor dog." Dog's eyes opened a little bit, and the dog said, "What do you mean, poor dog?" Pastor stood up a little straighter. Did that dog really talk to me? Did I really hear him correctly? And before he could really think about it, he responded by saying, "Yeah, poor dog chained up like that. Oh, what a shame." The dog says, "I have plenty of food to eat. You can see my bowl. You can see that the water bowl is full. I have everything I want here." "What chain?" he said. Pastor cocked his head and thought for just a second, and then walked up to the dog, grabbed the chain that was lying in the dirt, held it up right in front of the dog, and said, "This chain." The dog growled, "Don't you shake your fist at me," the dog said. Pastor was startled, especially by that growl, and backed up a little bit and said, "I was just showing you the chain. You know, if you didn't have that chain around your neck, you could do anything. You could romp around this yard. It's all fenced in." The dog said, "What chain?" Pastor just shrugged his shoulders and turned around and began to walk towards the porch when he heard a baying sound, a dog howling. He turned around to see the dog standing up straight, looking very focused at a bunch of bushes. And the pastor looked at the bushes and saw a little rabbit coming out of the bushes. And just like that, the dog, howling again, shot off, running as fast as he could towards that rabbit. And the pastor knew for a split second what was going to happen. The chain played out, and just like that, that dog stopped because he was being choked by the chain, and he fell down to the ground. Pastor walked up to him and said, "You know, I could talk to your master. Maybe he could free you from that chain." dog just sort of painfully turned over and said, "What chain?" "That chain around your neck that prevented you to go after that rabbit." "What rabbit?" he said. Pastor just shook his head and walked up the porch, rang the front doorbell. The master of the house and the master of the dog opened the door and stepped out and looked at the pastor and said, "Pastor, you look like you've seen a ghost." And the pastor raised his hand rather shakily and pointed at the master and said, "Chain! Chain around your neck!" And he said, "What chain?" I tell you that story as a kind of an introduction to the gospel lesson for this morning. When Jesus talked about being free, and his hearers said, "Free? We're not slaves. What do you mean?" When Jesus said those words, "If you hear my words and follow me, you will be free," his hearers were a little confused. They said, "Well, what do you mean? We've never been enslaved by anyone." Now, if you take that statement on face value, you would have to say to them, "Well, you're sadly mistaken. You may be sons of Abraham, but don't you remember when you were slaves in Egypt? And don't you recall that living in this country, Judea, well, you are kind of slaves. You're not self-governed. Rome has conquered you. You serve under Rome. And the king you have on the throne isn't from your own Israel. He's not a son of David." And on that level, Jesus was certainly right, even though they didn't want to face it. What slavery? But Jesus was talking about a more serious slavery, a slavery to sin. If they would not hear Jesus' words and follow him, they were still in sin, because in their frame of thinking, if we want to please God, we are going to do the law of God. And when you do the law of God, and when you obey him perfectly, you are loved by God. But they lived under a mistaken notion that they were in fact obeying the law, that they were in fact without sin. And because of that, because they served sin, they were slaves. Now fast forward 1,500 years. In a little town called Wittenberg, Germany. How did people in Europe think of God in those days? Overwhelmingly, the people believed that God was mad at them, that God was a stern God, a God who visited them with terror and punishment. And where did they get that notion? Well, in the 14th century and for the next 200 years, nearly every year in between, Europe was ravaged by plagues. The Black Death alone killed off 50%, some will even say as high as 60% of the population. They would say it came so quickly that it was like you were eating breakfast with your family and then at lunch you were eating with your dead relatives. That's how fast it was, how dramatic it was, how terrifying it was, whole villages dying. How could you explain such a thing other than God was mad at them and punishing them? And the people didn't know any better. Most people couldn't read. And if you could read, there was really nothing to read. Because before the printing press, only a few decades before Luther, books were all handwritten. Very expensive. Only the wealthy could afford them, and many of them couldn't even read. And if you could read, and you had a book, almost all of them were written in Latin and Greek, and that wasn't your native language. And so the people did not know any better. And in their mind, and what they had been taught was, you are to obey God, and if you disobey God, he punishes you. They didn't know about God's love for them. They didn't know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. They didn't know that. And even when you died, there was still no peace, because you went to a place called purgatory, where it would take centuries to work off all the sins that you had done in your life. No wonder the people were frightened. They would just ignore anything else. And what about today? Well, you might say that today things ought to be a lot better. For example, in our country, we can say we are free. We've never been slaves. I don't think any of our ancestors were slaves to anybody that we can recall. And so we live in a free country. And almost all of you, if not all of you, read. And there's plenty of books to read. And if you wanted to, you could go out to the Goodwill stores and Salvation Army stores and the used bookstores, and you could easily buy and put together 100 Bibles to be placed on your coffee table. But you wouldn't be any better off than somebody in the Middle Ages if you didn't read, if you didn't look in the Scriptures, if you didn't hear God's own words of his tender love for you and his sacrificial love for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And even today, many people have chains around their neck, and they go, "What chains are you talking about?" When they think that by their works, by their efforts, by whatever they try to do, that somehow God will owe them eternal life. And that's the chain around a lot of people's necks. Might be a chain around your neck if that's your thinking too. No, the only freedom that we can have is when we put our full faith and trust in the gift that God gave to us, that through his Son, all our sins are paid in full, that we have life and life everlasting in him. It was a privilege for my wife and I some years ago to spend 2 weeks in Wittenberg, Germany, where Martin Luther had been a professor at the university. We had the privilege of knowing the town guide, Mr. Meinecke. Remarkable person, spoke English with hardly a hint of an accent. And his knowledge of Wittenberg and Luther and Lutheran theology was enormous. He took us around a whole day showing us the sites in Wittenberg. Now, I must put in here that when Americans go to Wittenberg on a Reformation tour, and you ask them, "What does Martin Luther mean to you?" they will say, "He's the great reformer. He is the man that discovered the gospel. He is the man that brought about a Reformation." But if you ask a German, most Germans will say Martin Luther was a man who brought freedom to the German people. He solidified the German language with his translation of the Bible. Before that, there was High German, Low German, all sorts of German language. But he standardized it. Two very different views of the same man. And that was his view. Luther was a great man, a great leader, a man who solidified the German language. He said during the tour with great pride that he was born in Eisleben. That's where Luther was born. And he was baptized in the same church that Luther was baptized, at the same font that Luther had been baptized. I was really impressed with that. And then I said to him, "And where do you go to church?" "Oh, I don't go to church," he said. "I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything, really." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I was baptized." Now that really grabbed me. And I said, "Because you were baptized?" And he said, "Yes. Because there was a record that I was baptized, I was labeled a Christian. And in East Germany, when you were growing up, Christians weren't allowed to go to university. The best you could hope for is to work in a factory with your hands. And so university was barred from me. And I've been angry ever since. All I can do is either work in a factory or be a guide in this city." What a chain he had around his neck. And he did not know. And the gospel was right there with him. May the gospel never depart from us, for we rejoice and give thanks to God for his great mercies and his salvation in Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.